Good evening to you here at the Metropolitan Tabernacle and our radio friends, families, and missions. We greet you in the name of our crucified, buried, risen, exalted, coming back Lord, coming back for His people. And we begin our studies tonight. Begin with the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So, you have your Bible with you. Everyone get in the habit of bringing your Bible. And let's study the Word of God together. Some gracious teachings before us, as it has in the past. And I'm glad to see this number here tonight. I've been getting reports from the different families out yonder in the missions, how they're enjoying these studies together with us. So we begin a brand new chapter tonight, the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and what a gracious chapter it is. So let's begin reading. Let's read it through. We get the whole scope of the chapter. Let's get it. Let's read it and see what the Lord has in store for us. Try not to keep you too long. But I've said that before, and many times we forgot about the time because where the Lord is, there's the freedom in speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is freedom, and you love to be in His presence. Hate to leave sometimes. The 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, listen to it. Moreover, brethren, well, we got through with that 27th last Sunday, didn't we? Let's read that one before we go into the 10th, the 27th verse of the 9th chapter. But I keep under my body, the Apostle Paul speaking here now, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, or as we would say, put on the shelf. Not that he would lose his salvation, but be put on the shelf, set aside. Then now we're going to this 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000, which means 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, Take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's true. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, men who have knowledge. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing, well, I'll tell you, let's stop right there at that 15th verse, and we'll perhaps next week we'll read on further. But that 15th verse, listen to it. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. In the beginning, let me say this. The beginning of our lesson tonight, of this 10th chapter. There are warnings in this chapter, admonitions. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, a church beset by many problems, errors, false teachers got into in there, brought in false doctrines, a church that Paul laid the foundation, where he laid the foundation, Christ. Now, a large part of the church at Corinth were Gentiles. They were well informed in respect to the ancient history of the Jews. You'll find that in verse 1 of that chapter. Look at it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, they weren't ignorant people instructed in the Old Testament by the apostle. They read the Old Testament. They read about the children of Israel, how the Lord took care of them, and how they were under bondage in Egypt. They read about their leaving Egypt, and how the story goes on to tell how God took care of them, favored them, showered them with mercies day by day. As the same situation here, of course, we can always compare many of those experiencing the children of Israel as with many who have attended this church, this assembly through the years. But let's go just a little further. It'll explain itself. They were well informed in respect to the ancient history of the Jews. Probably they had read these things in the Old Testament, but it was not distinct in their recollection. Many times we've got to bring to remembrance many things from the Word of God. Recall to your attention. Time after time, line after line, precepts after precepts, a little here, a little there, warnings from the Word of God to those who are not in Christ, to pretenders, to false professors, as warnings that in the end they cannot win. And then, let's go on a little further. Paul recalls these historical facts before their minds as an illustration and an admonition. I would not have you unmindful, in that first verse, or forgetful of these things. Don't you ever forget them. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Don't you forget them. Always keep them before your mind of what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Those who sinned. Those who rebelled. Those who murmured and complained. I would have you recollect this case and not allow their example to influence your conduct. Now, it is a thing worthy both of our knowledge and attention for everyone here tonight, both saved and lost. The early history of the Jewish nation proves that however close may be the relation sustained by men towards God, and however glorious the promises made to them, it is nevertheless possible for such to be rejected at the last. In this respect, the Apostle Paul holds up the people of the ancient covenant as a warning to those of the new, you and I, showing first the rich experience of divine favor enjoyed by the Jewish nation, and second, how the majority did nevertheless fall at last beneath the divine judgments by yielding to temptations, complying with their ungodly passions, and resisting God. Through their misconduct and through their unbelief, which leads to rebellion, they fell short of salvation. And the very same thing here, my friends, can happen to you. I fear for those outside of Christ. You enjoy the blessings, the glories of the gospel, the witnessing of the Holy Spirit. But unless you yield, unless you're broken, unless your heart gets right with God in Christ, you can remain here 30 or 40 years and then not come to the knowledge, the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then finally perish. Do you know what sends individuals to hell? Do you know what causes people to perish? Is sin. Those who love sin, who wants to hold on to it, who will not willing to give it, to surrender, and to acknowledge of what sinners they are before God, who pits their will against God's will, against God's leadership. That's why so many people who have been with us through the years, they've gone out from us because they have pit their will against God's will, against God's leadership, just like they did in the wilderness. How they complained and murmured against Moses and Aaron and those who God elected in their particular places and refused to yield. And at the same time, enjoying all the graces of God. Look at this world, this nation. the favors that God showers upon this nation as a whole. The blessings, the plenty that we have all around us. And how many an individual takes time out and thank God for His goodness towards this nation, America. But I see all around us today nothing but greed, covetousness, lust, fornication, idolatry. And God is angry with this nation. Whether you have little or much, it's worthy to praise the Lord for. Remember that. Little or much. As we view that great company of hundreds of thousands of Israelites leaving the land of Egypt that night, it would have been impossible for anyone to have drawn any distinction between those who were real and faithful and those who, because of sin and unbelief, would eventually have to be destroyed. We have the same situation here. It's impossible to know those that are true, really true. I could be wrong. And to know those that are not true. To know those who harbor bitterness in their heart or jealousy or murmuring and complaining all the time. It gets kind of hard to distinguish. And that great company that left Egypt that night, it was hard. It would have been hard to distinguish those who were right with God and who believed God. God said He would give us a land that's flowing with milk and honey. He would lead us to that land. And they took God at His word and believed Him. And regardless of what they had to suffer, God was true. They believed God. But I wonder how many dilly-dallying along the way. I wonder if God means what He says. I wonder if His promises are true. He could be wrong. He wouldn't lead us in such and such like this through afflictions. He wouldn't have the enemy come against us like they are. He wouldn't let us suffer like this. And they begin to murmur and complain. And we're going to see that as we go along. I wonder how many of you are murmuring and complaining because this is happening to you. Or that, and you're suffering. Or this trial, that trial. And things don't seem to go just right, and you're complaining. But at the same time, we will come together here, and you say, "Thank you, Pastor, for that message. It blessed my heart. And oh, I want to know the Lord." But at the same time, women, you're bitter. You're bitter about something, and you're complaining and you're murmuring. Why hasn't God saved me? Why hasn't He delivered me yet? Well, you know the reason. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you why you're not saved. You know it. Yes. And so the warning comes to us. Get this now. It is one thing to profess to be a born-again believer, saved by the grace of God. It is one thing even to participate in the ordinance of the church, such as the Lord's Supper, water baptism. It is one thing to associate outwardly with the people of God and to seem to have fellowship and communion with them. But it is another thing to prove to be a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ by living for Him and faithfully persevering to the end. I want us to turn in our Bibles to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. you brought your Bible, turn there with us. The 10th chapter of Hebrews. Let us start reading, begin reading from the 26th verse. Listen to it. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But what does remain? A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment. Now listen to this. Listen to this, sinner. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But listen to this, listen. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, and that word illuminated means awakened, ye endured a great flight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But I like this portion here, the Apostle Paul. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction or condemnation or hell, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's why I tell you, go on. Keep going on. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep coming to Christ. And let him have his way in your life. Just let him have his complete way and control in your life. Turn your case completely over to him. The battle's the Lord. Where there's a real work of grace by the Spirit of God in the soul, it will be continuous. Now, let me get this. Repeat that again. You get it. Where there's a real work of grace by the Spirit of God in the soul, it will be continuous. You remember that precious scripture? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. That's a continuous work of grace in the soul. And God began that work in me 22 years ago. And it hasn't ceased. And it never will cease. That's why I just said, where there's a real work of grace by the Spirit of God in the soul, that soul will persevere unto the end. You say, I don't know whether I'll persevere unto the end. I just don't know. I don't know whether I'll make it. No, you can't by yourself. You can by looking to Christ and trusting Him, trusting the Holy Spirit, trusting the Lord. Now let me repeat this again and close that statement. Where there's a real work of grace by the Spirit of God in the soul, it will be continuous. But how many are there of whom it can be said, Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead? I wonder how many are following this ministry for a name, for a reputation. They dare not come out and say they're not saved. They want everybody to know that they're saved. They have a name to live. They have a profession that they've got to keep up. If I go away, surely they will think I'm lost. Surely they will think I had nothing. But I'll stay along. I'll stick along. And I'll stay with the church. I've got to do that. I've got a name to live by. I've got a name to live. I've got a reputation to keep. I cannot disown my character or show my true colors. And that's what it means by over there in Revelation 3:1. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. How many preachers we have today that they have a name to live? Let us look again at verses 1 through 5. Let's read it again. Of the 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, all of those thousands of people, every one of them, saved and lost, they enjoyed God's blessings. They were under a faithful guide. God gave them a gracious leader. God's given you a gracious leader. You may not be aware of it, but God's given you a gracious leader. He's given us gracious leaders in the past, our late pastor. And He's given you a gracious leader now. I'm not saying that with a proud heart. Moses was a gracious leader. God said, if they hear you, they'll hear me. Let me tell you, my friends, like our late pastor said many, many times, a church that has a faithful pastor, a gracious leader, is the most blessed church. But to have a leader that's unfaithful, is not led of the Lord, and will lead you into the world, and lead you in everything that's contrary to the will of God, that could be the worst thing that can happen to a church. And let me say this again. God makes His people. God makes His pastors. The seminaries can't make a pastor. God makes His pastors. God makes His leaders. And He puts them in the place that He wants them to be. Just like He did Moses. And all the rest of the leaders, the prophets, the apostles, put them in their respective place, and God blessed them. And so they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. Every one of us. And every one of us here in this house tonight, we have enjoyed God's blessings. Your heart's been blessed. Your heart's been stirred. Your heart's been awakened by the Spirit of God. And God's been good to you. He's shown you His long-suffering with long life, many of you. So you're under the cloud. You're under the blessing. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual manna from heaven. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. And my friends, every one of you is drinking of that now. You've been drinking of Him through the years, but you haven't enjoyed it. Some of us haven't enjoyed it. You spewed it out. In Israel, there were two groups in Israel. Some who had true faith in God, and some who simply had an outward relationship to the people of the covenant. We got two groups of people here tonight. Saved, lost. Some who want to be saved. Some who are saved. I praise the Lord for both of you. And then you have other groups that come in out of curiosity, just to hear. Spectators, more or less. And then you got others who come just because they like the church or the temple. Or they like God's people. They like the love that they see here. It's different from where they come. They just like to come. And if they stay here long enough, perhaps a little bit of it will rub off on them. And I hope it does. Of course, you've got the rebellious individual who will not yield, who will not give in, who will not acknowledge himself as a sinner. And we've got all types of individuals in an assembly like this. So there were some who had true faith in God and some who simply had an outward relationship to the people of the covenant. Good friends. So those who had that outward relationship, well, we call them empty religious professors. They went with the true believers through the Red Sea. And the apostle likens that to baptism, as in verse 2. They were all baptized together. Which means, you see, baptism doesn't save you. Water baptism. Water baptism hasn't saved anybody. But the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what saves. All right? They were sheltered by the pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night, and he compares that to the gift of the Holy Spirit in verse 2. Verse 3 tells us that they all ate manna that came from heaven. And that speaks of participation in Christian fellowship at the table of the Lord. Verse 4 tells us that they all drank the water that came from the smitten rock, which gives us the beautiful picture of those who drink today of the water of life that flows from Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5 tells us, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. which means that in some there remaineth a heart of unbelief. They will not believe Christ. You will not believe Christ. You will not believe Him. And unless ye believe that Jesus was speaking to those Pharisees one day, unless ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, which means ye shall die in your unbelief. Well, there was no true work of grace in the soul, no reality in the heart. Of course, where there's no grace in the heart, in the soul, there's no reality in the heart and in the life. They only had an outward form. They rebelled and sinned, and finally they were destroyed. Though they enjoyed so many privileges, yet they were destroyed. In admonishing the Corinthians, the apostle reminds them that their privileges, that the privileges that they had, that these early Israelites had, did not constitute an absolute security from danger, and that they should be cautious against the indulgence of sin. And we spoke much along that line in the previous chapters about fornication and wrath, and malice, and so on, adultery. And here he again cautions them. He said, just because you're in the assembly, or because you're part of the church and you attend here, that's not any security for you. If you're still indulging in sin, in fornication, and idols, idolatry, just because you're mixed with the people of God is no sign that eventually you'll be saved. You'll be saved if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want Him above everything else in this world. If you put Him above everything else. You'll be saved then. The phrase rendered here with many means with most of them, literally the majority. This means that with the greater part of them, God was not well pleased. The greater part of them, God was not well pleased. We had groups here through the years while our pastor was living. The greater part of them, God was not well pleased at all. He was pleased with but just a few of them. He was offended with their ingratitude and their rebellion. God hates rebellion. God hates sin. God cannot bless you. He cannot forgive you. He cannot grant you repentance and acknowledging the truth until sin is put away, till all the idols are set aside. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. That is, by the pestilence. They were overthrown by pestilence. You read that story? And then by wars. God permitted the enemies to come up against them. Many were destroyed. Many of them died by just natural diseases. So that they did not reach the land of Canaan because of their murmuring and their complaining. Only two men of the generation, of that generation, Caleb and Joshua, were permitted to enter the land of promise, and also those that were 20 years and younger. Our time has gotten by. I want us to look, before we close, at Numbers. Turn it over to Numbers with us, the 14th chapter. I want to read you something here. Numbers, the 14th chapter. For our last scriptural reading, then I'll let you go. Numbers 14, the 26th verse. Let's begin with it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities. Even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. What an awful thing. So you see, my friends, in closing, what rebellion will do in the heart. I may not see it. God sees it. And you can hold it there for so long. Keep it there for so long. But there's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of reckoning. And let us everyone, by the Spirit of God, search our hearts tonight. See if our heart is right with God. Because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. Remember that. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. And you turn to Him tonight. Ask Him to break all the powers that be in your life that's raging against Him. God's Word is true. That's true. His word is true. And you believe it. You had better believe it. And the only thing I can do tonight is just tell you to turn to the Lord and hoist the white flag and surrender unto Him. And if you do that, He'll save you. Don't let a promise of God's word slip you. God giving you a promise, you lay hold of it. Cried unto Him, and you look to the Lord, look to Him. He'll save you. He said, Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, beside me there is none else. I'm the Redeemer. Look to me. And be broken. Empty your heart out before Him. Spread everything out before Him. Just tell Him everything of your heart. Don't tell it to me. Don't tell it to anyone else. Tell it to Him. Get along with His Word and spread it out before Him. Tell Him all the evils of your heart, that heart of unbelief, those prejudices that have been there, those lies and jealousy
Now just tell him all about that heart of yours. He knows it.
He wants you to acknowledge it before him. Then what's happening? Then you're thinking along with God. You're thinking along with him then. Then God can bless you, deal with you then in mercy, tenderness, and lead you out. Give you grace for every trial, everything. Bring you to Christ by His Spirit. You can't win. Sinners can't win. Sinner, you can't win. You just can't win against God. You might do despite to Him now. You may laugh at Him now. You may be critical of the pastor now, or critical of his word. You may deny him. You may say it's not true, but you can't win against God. When you come to lie in that casket there, you've gone down defeat and utter destruction. Whether you're young or you're old. Turn to the Lord. It's my prayer. I'm praying for you that you will. God will move your heart and break that will and that rebellion. And that you be brought to know the Christ of God's Word, the Bible. May God lead you, keep you. Glad you came tonight. I love you. But sometimes we have to be sound, positive. Sometimes we might seem hard. But you don't know what you're dealing with when you deal with the hearts of sinners. Hardened hearts. And you do everything in your power. You take the Word of God. Sometimes you'll use it as a hammer. And you'll hammer away at the sinner's heart to get him to think. Because Satan has dulled that mind. And you've gotten to a slumber for so long a time until there's no urgency on your part to close in with Christ. And I've got to take the Word of God sometime like a hammer and rouse you with it. That you'll be awakened to your lost condition. Because my friend's time is short. You're not going to live forever. Well, the Apostle Paul was doing the same thing to the people here at Corinth. And I praise the Lord, that's what it takes. I knew that's what it took when the pastor hammered my heart. Call me by name. I praise the Lord for it. I'm glad you came tonight. God's blessed this day. I love every one of you. Long in my heart to see all of you saved, from the youngest to the elders. And the prayers, my prayers and the believers' prayers, that you will come to know the Lord. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessings upon thy precious word tonight. We pray the Holy Spirit will take the message home in power and with much assurance. May sinners, our Father, be slain at thy feet. May hearts be broken. May those walls come tumbling down. Our Father, by the blast of thy word into the hearts of sinners, and that the Holy Spirit will give them a new heart, and thy word will be impressed upon their hearts and become precious to them. And our Father, they'll come to know the God of the Bible, the Christ of thy word, the preciousness of Christ, the love of God in Christ, oh, and the righteousness and the blood of the Son of God. Thank thee, our Lord, for the gospel message. Open hearts everywhere. We'll give thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Good night, and God bless you.